Tonight's shiur is on Megillas Rus as a preparation for Shavuos, and the title of tonight's shiur is The Bitterness of Naomi. I want to discuss, in Perek Aleph of Rus, there are two instances where Naomi expresses bitterness, and she expresses them in different ways in the two instances. So I want to really address the two situations where Naomi, you know, she specifies her bitterness and what she attributes it to and why it's different in each situation. So let's take it up from the first time we see Naomi expressing this bitterness. In Rus Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatomer Naomi Shovna Benosai Lama Selachna Imi Ha'oli Banim B'me'ai V'hayu Lachem La'anashem. So Naomi is trying to convince her daughter-in-laws to not follow with her, not go with her, but rather turn away. And she says to them, do I have any more children that could be your husbands? And, you know, she's saying, I don't have any more children, so don't come with me. Don't stay with me. Shovna benosai lechna ki zakanti miyosel ish. Return my daughters, meaning her daughter-in-laws, and go, because I am too old to get married. Ki amarti yeshli tikva. And to say that I have hope, gam hayisi halayla leish v'gam yolati vanim. And even if I were to marry and have children, halahein tesaberna ad asher yigdalu. Would you be willing to wait for my boys to grow up? Halahein teagena levilti hayos leish. Would you shut yourself off from getting married to somebody else? Al benosai, no daughters. Ki marli meod mikem, ki yatsa abi yad Hashem. Because I am much more bitter than you, because the hand of God has been sent against me. Vatisena kolon vativkena od vatishak orpa lachamosa v'rus dafkaba. And at that point in the story, Orpa leaves, one of her daughters-in-law leaves her, but Rus stays with her. So the main pasuk I want to take up is Yud Gimel. It says, again, I'm going to read it again, Halahein tesaberna ad asher yigdalu. She's saying to her daughters-in-law, are you willing to wait till my children would grow up, even if I had children now? Are you willing to shut yourself off? Albinosai, no daughters. Ki marli me'od mikem. Because I am much more bitter than you. Ki yatza bi yad Hashem. Because the hand of Hashem has been extended against me. So what is the idea? The question on this pasuk is, what is this idea of bitterness that she's expressing to her daughters-in-law? And what does it have to do with Yatza bi Yad Hashem? What is it referring to when she says Yatza bi Yad Hashem? Okay, any other questions on the pasuk? Okay, so that's really the main question I want to take up in this instance of Rus demonstrating and her and talking about her bitterness. So look at number two in Rashi. It's Rashi on the same pasuk. He says ki Yatza bi Yad Hashem. Amar Rabbi Levi, kol makom shenemar yad Hashem, makas deverhi. Whenever the term the hand of God is used in Tanakh, it's a reference to dever, which is pestilence. Ubinyan av lekulam, and the general category is hine yad Hashem oya. It comes from Shemos, where it says that the yad of Hashem will be. What is that referencing? If we look at number three in Shemos, let's read the whole pasuk. The pasuk is by Dever, by the Makkah of Dever. Hine Yad Hashem Hoya b'meknecha asher basadeh basusim b'chamrim b'agmalim b'bakar v'atzon Dever kaved me'od. So the Makkah is describing, you know, a death to all the animals through this disease of pestilence. So when Rus talks about her bitterness, sorry, not Rus, when Naomi talks about her bitterness to her daughters-in-law, she references some idea of Makkah's Dever, of pestilence. Now, what does that have to do with? Now, what does that have to do with Naomi? And what exactly is she referencing? When was there a Makkah of Dever against her? So that's just factually. When did it happen? And why is she focusing on this aspect of, you know, of everything that happened to her? If we go back, just a general, you know, overview of what happened to her. Her husband was killed, Elimelech, and her two boys were killed, Mahlon and Chilion. And she did lose all her money and everything, and she was left with her two daughters-in-law. So why is the pasuk and her bitterness focusing on ki yatza bi yad Hashem, the idea that the animals were killed? Okay, so let's look in, by the way, before we go and get to the, you know, where it comes from, the Ibn Ezra just points out, he says, Yad Hashem, Makkah, which is a reference to a plague, Kibiyadhi, Belashon Bnei Adam, Diber HaKasov. That the Torah, the reason why the Torah uses Yad is it's expressing it in the Lashon Bnei Adam, because typically you're hit by a person's hand. So it's just describing, you know, the nature of a Makkah. So he's saying it's not literal. Okay, so I think that's just a small point to make. But let's just figure out, where does this pestilence, this dever, where is it referenced before? If we look in Rus, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Hei, so we're going backwards now, when it describes the death of Machlon and Chilion, the number 5, it says, Vayamusu gam shnehem, Machlon v'chilion, v'tisha'er ha'isha mishne yeladeh u'me'isha. Both of them also died, Machlon and Chilion, and the woman was left without her 2 children and her husband, meaning Naomi. Let's look at Rashi. What is the reference to Dever here? It's not open in the Pasuk. So Rashi over here on the same Pasuk says, Gam Shneham, he quotes a Chazal. Mahu Gam, why does it say Gam? Bitchila Laku Bimamonam. At first, their money was affected. The plague affected their money. Umesu Gmalehem Umiknehem, Achar Kach Mesu Gamhem. And then their animals died, and then afterwards they died. So the order of death to Machlon and Chilion was that first they lost their money, then they lost their cattle and all their animals, and then they died. And I guess Rashi, when he says before, Ki Yatza Biyad Hashem, which is a reference to Dever, I'm assuming he's referencing this idea that Machlon and Chilion's animals were all killed, and so too, I guess, Naomi herself, because she was related to the whole estate. So all the animals were killed. So again, the question is, why is she focusing her bitterness, you know, on this particular concept? You'd think it would make more sense for her to focus her bitterness on the fact that her husband died and her children died. But why the fact that her animals died? And let's look in the Torah Tamima in number 7. He says the same thing as Rashi. He says, Tanya, La'olam ein bal harachamim porea min hanefashos techila. So the master of mercy, which is obviously Hashem, he never repays the nefashos tchila, the people themselves first. V'af b'machlon v'chilion kachaya, and even by machlon and chilion, the same was the case. B'tchila mesu suseam chamoream ugmalehem. In the beginning, their animals died. V'acharkach v'yamusu gam shneam machlon v'chilion. Okay, so the Torah Tzmim was quoting the Medrash Rabbah, and he basically says the same thing as Rashi, that there was a sequence to the death of Machlon and Chilion. It didn't just happen that they died, but first their animals died. Their money, according to Rashi, says first their money was taken away, then their animals died, and then they died. But the one thing that the Medrash is adding is he says Bal Harachamim, that it's an idea in Rachamim Hashem that he doesn't really attack the Nefashos at first, but he attacks the animals. Before the people, before human beings. So again, the same question: why is Naomi bitter about this particular element? Why is she bitter about the fact that Ki Yatza Biyad Hashem? Okay. One more point. So everybody, I hope everybody is thinking about this question. We're gonna do one more source, and then we'll discuss. Okay, and that means you, Debbie. Look at number 8 in Rus. There's another reference to this, the idea of Dever, and it's made by the Malbim, but he quotes Chazal. In number 8, it says, Vayomos Elimelech ish Naomi, that Elimelech died, the husband of Naomi, Vatisha'er hi ushne vanea, and she was left with her 2 sons. Okay, so her husband died, and this is before Machlon and Chilion died. If you look in the Malbim says, Vayomos, because he agreed to live in Chutz Laaretz, to stay in Chutz Laaretz, he was punished immediately and he died. Uvir madua nenash hu velo Naomi ki hu haya ish Naomi umoshel aleha. So why did he die and not Naomi? V'ikar achet mesiaches elav. That's what it's explaining. And it's saying that the Ikar Achet is Misyaches to him, to Elimelech, and not to Naomi. The Chazal Amru, so this is where he says a similar idea. The Chazal Amru, Shetchila Hanishu Hashem B'mamono, So at first, Hashem, he punished the mamon of Elimelech. Ki ein bal harachamim pogea b'nefashos tchila. Same concept. That a bal harachamim is not pogea b'nefashos tchila. V'zeh merames b'mashakasav ish na'ami. And that's what it means when it says ish na'ami. Because it should just say v'yomas Elimelech. Why does it say v'yomas Elimelech ish na'ami? Ki asher gadol ke Elimelech hu ba'atmo noda b'shem al yidei ashero. So a person who's very wealthy, everybody knows him by his own name, like Donald Trump. You know Donald Trump by his own name. Vayu omrim shemes Elimelech ha'asher. And they were saying that Elimelech the Asher died. V'choshekin im haya be'eretz Yisrael, sham hayu omrim shemes Elimelech ha'parnos v'gadol hador. They would have definitely referenced, if Elimelech had died, they would have called him Elimelech, you know, the wealthy Elimelech, who was, you know, who's the gadol hador. They would have referenced him by his name. Aval achar she'avad kol asro, v'haya be'eretz nachriya, once he lost all his wealth, and he was living in a foreign land, lo noda b'shem, he lost all his recognition, rak shehaya ish na'ami. He was only called the husband of Na'ami, shehaya noda shem yoser mimenu, because she was more well-known than him, v'hu noda rak b'mashu ish na'ami. And he was only known through the fact that he was the husband of Na'ami. Okay? So in two instances, there is a reference to Dever. One instance is by Machlon and Chilion. Rashi openly quotes the Chazal that say that Machlon and Chilion, that all their animals were killed before they died. But the Malbim is saying, the Chazal is saying that even before Elimelech died, the wealth was lost. So it's just a machlokas as to when, you know, the wealth was taken away. Was it taken away before Elimelech, or was it taken away before the two children died, Machlon and Chilion? But either way, what is this concept of Dever? Why is it important to know that Baal Rachmim is Parea Nefashos Tchila? And then we can answer Naomi. What was Naomi's idea as to why she was bitter and why is she focusing on Ki Yatza B'Yad Hashem? Okay? So any possibilities as to why she would reference her bitterness to this point or to this concept? Because I would say that she should be bitter over the fact that her, you know, everybody died around her. All right, I'm leaving this for the people on the phone line. Does anybody have a possibility?
Maybe because it, like, is forecasting something to come, so it's like a slow and torturous process that she now has to go through, so she doesn't like that.
But this already happened. She's talking about the past. She's saying, why am I so bitter? Because Hashem's hand affected me, and Hashem's hand meaning, in the past, the Dever affected me. The fact that all my cattle were killed. But she shouldn't be so upset about the cattle. She should be upset about the fact that her husband was killed and her children were killed. And also, why bitter? When do we say, why use the term kimar li me'od? Because I'm very bitter. I'm much more bitter than you. What is the term bitterness reference? When do we say that you're bitter?
Deserve what you were given.
Okay, all right. Okay, that's a good approach. What, anybody else? Debbie? Do you have another approach? Or somebody on the phone?
I was going to ask, sorry, one more time. I'm sorry, I know you might have said it, but how did the husband and the son die?
The basic idea is that what exactly did they die of? Or
Did they die of a natural death?
No, it was hashgacha, that they deserved an onesh from God. And we're going to get into that later on in this year, but they deserved the onesh because they were very wealthy and they left Eretz Yisrael in the time where the Aniyim needed them the most, and they left them, they abandoned them. And that's why they were punished. They were punished for leaving Eretz Yisrael and abandoning the people of Eretz Yisrael. But before they were punished,
the animals just died from Dever alone, that's it.
Well, yeah, there's a sequence to the punishment. I mean, Rashi's saying first their mamon, their actual money, and then their cattle and all their animals. And then after that, at the end, they were killed. So there was a sequence there. Yeah.
I guess she could have been better also because she wished God would have killed her.
Okay. She doesn't say that. She says, Ki yatzu b'yad Hashem. She says she's bitter because of the fact that she's referencing the Dever, Makas Dever. So she would have said that if she would have felt that way, I think.
Maybe not.
All right. So let's maybe try to give a possibility and approach to why our bitterness is focused on this element. So what is the concept that Hashem is Perea, he's not Perea Nefashos first? And Rashi's saying there was a sequence of first the Mammon and then the animals and then the people. But I think the clearest idea to explain Rashi is that Hashem was giving them an opportunity to do tshuva by taking away the wealth first and then the animals and then the people. So there was a sequence there in order to give them a chance to stop and think about why this is happening to them and do tshuva. And there's a reason why it's that sequence, Mammon and animals. Because I think Dever and the animals, it's similar to the idea of Korbanos. The Ramban says by Korbanos that the reason for Korbanos is that we identify with animals because they're living beings, and we're supposed to see the animal, its death, as our own death, and we're supposed to identify with the animal. So too by Dever. When Dever occurred to before Machlon and Chilion or either Elimelech died, they should have seen their own mortality, and it should have awakened within them an idea of tshuva. They should have recognized that there's some flaw here. There's a reason why these extremely wealthy people and Gidoli Hador are being affected by this Dever. But they didn't really, it seems like they didn't take, they didn't take up the opportunity. They didn't utilize the opportunity for tshuva to actually do tshuva, and that's why they were killed after that. Because you see that they stayed outside in Chutz La'aretz, and they didn't go back to Eretz Yisrael immediately. Okay, so if you say that, then we can go back and understand Naomi. What is the idea that she was bitter, and why is she focusing on Kiyatza Biyad Hashem? She wasn't bitter about the fact that I'm sure she was sad about the fact that everybody died around her. But the bitterness came from the fact that she saw that it could have been other, it could have been different. It could have worked out in a different way. And the point where it could have worked out differently is when the Dever occurred. Because when the Dever occurred, that should have been an opportunity to do tshuva, an opportunity to work on oneself, and that was lost. And because that was lost, so therefore she was left in this situation where she was without her, without her children and without her husband. So the maros, the bitterness of Naomi isn't attached, when she's describing it to her daughters-in-law, it's not attached to, into the current situation that she's in, but it's attached to the idea that she recognized she lost out on an opportunity to prevent this from happening, from stopping this from happening. And I think that's where, bitterness comes into play. A person feels bitter typically when they think that it could have been different. Like, it could have been different, it could have worked out differently, and it doesn't work out differently, it works out for the negative. Like, if somebody else gets a job that you were also in line for, so you feel bitter because you feel like there's a possibility that it could have worked out differently. So it's the same thing with Naomi. Naomi's bitterness is tied to this concept, the concept that she lost out on the opportunity to stop, this chain of events. And had she viewed the Makas Dever, had she viewed the destruction of all the cattle before the death of either Machlon Mechilin or Elimelech, and had she talked to her husband and her children, they could have done tshuva and they could have stopped this whole entire downfall. But this was lost. And once she lost that, that's what she's tying the bitterness to. Okay? So I think it really reflects on her perfection, that she really recognizes it's almost like she's on the path of doing tshuva by mentioning her bitterness, because she's pointing to the point of tshuva, the point where it could have been different, where she could have changed the course of the future. But she didn't. All right? Anybody have any questions or other possibilities?
Yeah. She didn't realize it earlier.
She didn't realize it earlier? I mean, I don't know if she may have realized it earlier. She didn't realize it at the time because obviously everybody died, but she may have mentioned this. We don't know what the exact amount of time was between Machlon and Chilion's death and this comment, but she's expressing it now. She's saying, this is why I'm more bitter than you. So just because she may have felt this before, but the Megillah is not expressing it. It's expressing it at this point. But she's recognizing where, she's recognizing where she could have, she could have changed, where everything could have been different. And that's what produces the sense of bitterness within her. Okay? All right, but there's a story, a little story later on, where she discusses her bitterness in a different context. And very strange situation at the end of Perek Aleph. She mentions it again. Once again, she says, you know, I'm a very bitter person. So look in Rus Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yotes. We're going to start from there, and we'll read till the end of the Perek. It says, Vatilachna Shtehem ad Bo'ona Beis Lochem. Both of them, meaning Rus and Naomi, because Rus had converted at that point, and she went along with her mother-in-law. They went to Beis Lochem. Vayihi kevo'ona Beis Lochem, Vatehom kolayir alehen, Vatomarna hazos Naomi. Everybody in the city gathered around them, and they were, you know, excited. And they said, Vatomarna, and they said, is this Naomi? And we're gonna go through the Rashis to explain what this means, but just on shot, they're saying, is this Naomi? Vatomar alehen, and she says back to them, Al tikrena li Naomi, do not call me Naomi, kiren li mara, call me bitter, ki hemar shakai li me'od, because Hashem has given me a lot of bitterness. Ani mulea halachti, vere kam heshivani Hashem, lama sikrena li Naomi, v'Hashem onavi v'shakai hera li. So I started out full, and I was returned and came back empty through Hashem. Don't call me. Why would you call me Naomi? Because Hashem Anabi. It means that he humbled me, or it means that we're going to see in Rashi. Hashem Anabi also can mean that God testified against me. Vishakai Heroli. And Hashem caused me harm. Vatashav Naomi Verusam Oviyah Kalasa Ima Hashava Miste Moav Vehema Bao Beis Lechem Betchilas Ketzir Seorim. And then the end is that they end up, you know, continuing on in their path in Beis Lechem, and it was the time of the harvesting. Okay? So again, once again, we see that Naomi is talking about her bitterness and how she feels. And what's the point of this whole story? Why is she expressing her bitterness in this manner? And why should everybody call her Mara? Okay? So let's look at Rashi to get a better idea of what's going on here. Rashi, and it's number 11, source number 11. Vatelachna Shtehen. Amar Rabbi Abahu. There's a couple of smaller Rashis here that are kind of, they're not really tied into the point of the Maras, but maybe we'll mention them and we'll just discuss them a little bit. It says, Vatelachna Shtehen, Omer Rabbi Abahu, Boer E Kama Chavivim Hagirim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kevon Shenosna Daita Lisgayer, Hishva Usta HaKasav Linami. Okay, so the Pasuk says that both of them went, and the Rashi's pointing out a Chazal that say that, you know, Geras, conversion is wonderful and they're beloved. And you see that from the fact that Naomi is equal to Rus. They're Vatelach Nashtan. Okay, fine. Vatehom Kolair. Everybody was astir. They were excited and they gathered. Nasis Homia Kolair Kulam Neskatsu Likbor Ishto Shelboa Shemeso Bobayom. So why was everybody there when they came into the city? So this is another Chazal that says that at the time that they came in, as they were arriving, the funeral of Boaz's wife was occurring simultaneously, and that's why everybody was gathered in the city when Rus and Naomi came into the city. And I think the idea over there, just on the side, is to demonstrate an idea in Hashgacha, that really, obviously, Rus would eventually marry Boaz, and it was Hashgacha that as Boaz was getting over the death of his wife, he runs into Rus and Naomi. Okay, fine. So now let's get to the point that the Shir is focused on. Hazos Naomi. Is this Naomi? Hey nekuda chataf mipnei shehi bitmia. Okay, so this was the hey has a chataf underneath it. That's the nekuda, the vowel. And the reason why that is because it's that they were stunned. Bitmia is a stun. They were, you know, this is such a strange thing. Hazos Naomi. Is this Naomi? Shiragila latzes batsavim uvapradim. That she normally, or she used to walk out with covered wagons and mules. Chazisa ma'alsala, see what happened to her, alasher yatsasa l'chutzal ha'aretz, because she left Eretz Yisrael and went to chutzal ha'aretz. So they were stunned at the difference between Naomi before and Naomi coming back, because she used to be a very wealthy woman, and she, you know, she had like an entourage, and she had, you know, fancy wagons, but now she's coming up, you know, disheveled, and they're saying, oh, look what happened to her because she left, you know, Eretz Yisrael, and she went to Chutz La'aretz. So they were stunned by that. Okay, so what does she answer them? She says, Malea halachti in Chaf Aleph, be'osher uvanim, that initially when I went, I had a lot of wealth, and I had a lot of children. Davar acher shahaisa mu'uberes. But another explanation is that she was pregnant at the time. And when it says that she came back missing or lacking, it means she lost all those things. It's really strange. Why is she mentioning to all the people of Beis Lechem that she was pregnant and she lost her, you know, she lost a child? Or what is the point of this? Why does she? They're stunned at the fact that she had been denigrated in such a strong fashion, and now she's saying to them, "Oh, yes, I am very bitter. Why am I bitter? Because Malaya Halachti, I started out with a lot of, you know, wealth and children. And I was also pregnant, Anavi. And then the last thing is, Heid alai shir shati lefanav, that Hashem, he testified against us. That's the idea of Anavi. Because, and he testified that I was evil before him. Davar acher, Anavi midas hadin, kimov ana geon Yisrael. The other idea is that the midas hadin of God had humbled her. Okay? So basically, Naomi is expressing to the people of Beis Lechem all the bad things that happened to her. She doesn't say ki yatsa bi yad Hashem, which is funny. Before, in source number one, when she's talking to her daughters-in-law, she says, why is she bitter? Because of the fact that, because of the dever. And we explained that meant that she lost out an opportunity to do tshuva. But now, when she's describing her bitterness to the people, she's tying it to the idea that she lost everything, which was more rational from the very start. But what's the difference? Why is it that when she is talking to all the people, why is she doing this? If really her bitterness was tied to her lack of tshuva, her inability to do tshuva at the proper point. And it's also funny, you know, why does everybody have to know all these details that, you know, she was pregnant, according to Rashi, and don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. What is the point of this? Isn't this like, you know, too much information? It's too much information. The people don't have to know all these facts, how bitter she is and how many bad things happened to her. So why do this? Why is Naomi, what's her plan, and why tell the people this? Okay? Possibilities? Anybody on the phone line? Okay. Another, also, before we just explain it, if you look at number 12, the Ibn Ezra says, Hazos Naomi ki Elimelech v'ishto hayu migdolei Yisrael. They were the gdolei Yisrael. They were also, you know, on a very high level. So that was another aspect that they recognized. They recognized that she was, they saw denigration in Naomi, and they were shocked because of the fact that she was very wealthy and this happened to her, or she was shocked because they viewed her with a certain perception as a gdolei Yisrael, and she had lost that when she came back and they saw that. Okay? So what is the point
maybe
of...
Yeah. Maybe she's using this opportunity to reconcile the fact that she missed an opportunity previously.
What do you mean? Like, why doesn't she say to the people, I am... call me Mara, why? Ki yatza bi yad Hashem. Before she said that, she said, call me Mara because, you know, because I... The real bitterness stems from the fact that there was an opportunity to do tshuva and it could have been different. But now she's not tying her bitterness to that. She's tying it to the you know, to the reality of the situation, that she lost everything. Which was our very question initially. So why is she changing her tune? But also, what's the broader context is...
Well, because yeah. She's becoming accountable.
Okay, how is she becoming accountable?
Because she's no longer focusing on the hands of God. She's focusing on...
Well, why does it matter that she tells the people all this? Let's say, so the people were stunned. Is this Naomi? Hazos Naomi? She should just say, either she should just say, yes, I am Naomi, or she should just say, mind your own business. Like, why exactly is it necessary for Naomi to go into Beis Lechem just because they're stunned by the fact that she's, you know, she's so disheveled? I mean, who cares? Why does she care about what the people think? And why is she responding, I am, you know, don't call me Naomi? She's saying, don't reference me by my old name. My new name is Mara, bitter. Who cares? Why do the people, why even give the people this information? But Tamara, you were saying that she's trying to rectify the situation?
Yes.
So I do agree with that, but we need to explain that a little more. But how is she trying to rectify it? All right, so I'm going to skip number 13. And I think we have to go back to the original chait of Elimelech and Machlon v'Chilion. And obviously, Naomi was really a part of the chait because she was affected by the onesh. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't really responsible for it in an essential way, but she was attached to, you know, to Elimelech, and she could have stopped him, and she didn't stop him. Look at number 14. The first pasuk in Rus, it says, Vayihi b'mei shfot ha-shoftim, vayihi ra'av ba'aretz. There was a famine in the land in Eretz Yisrael. Vayelech ish mi-beis lechem Yehuda la-gur b'stei Moav, hu v'ishto shnei vanav. Elimelech, and this is a reference to Elimelech. Elimelech, Naomi, and his two, and their two children, Machlon Mechilion, and their two sons, they left Beis Lechem, which was in Eretz Yehuda, in Eretz Yisrael, and they decided to go to Stei Moav, outside of Eretz Yisrael, to Chutz La'aretz. Okay, look at number 15. Vayelech ish, Asher Gadol Haya Uparnes Ador. Elimelech was a very wealthy man, and he was the Parnes Ador. He was a supporter of the whole generation. V'yatza me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. So he left Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz m'pnei tsaro sa'ayin. Shahayso eino tsara ba'aniyim habayim l'dochko l'chach ne'anosh. He was getting fed up with the aniyim who were asking for money. He was being a little cheap, and he was getting fed up with it. So he decided to leave. So, and he left, he abandoned Klal Yisrael, he left all the aniyim, and he said, listen, it's not my responsibility anymore. Okay? So really, the chid of Elimelech and Machlon Vechilion, because they died also as well, and obviously Naomi, because she left as well with them, is that they abandoned the people of Klal Yisrael when they needed them. Really, they were very wealthy people. They were also Gedolei Yisrael, and they left. They abandoned the nation. They abandoned Eretz Yisrael, and they decided to leave. So now, when Naomi's coming back to Beis Lechem, she's really returning. She's making her return to Beis Lechem. So the people of Beis Lechem, you would assume that they had a certain perspective of Naomi, that she was almost distanced to them because of the fact that they chose to leave, and they abandoned Klal Yisrael. So you could see, you see from Rashi, it says, look what happened to them because she left to go to Chutz La'aretz. So there is an idea there that there's an idea in that Rashi that there is that they recognize that part of the they viewed her in a certain way, that they viewed Naomi as being high and mighty, highfalutin, and she left and she abandoned them. And they're saying the reason why this happened to her is because she left and abandoned Klal Yisrael and she went to Chutz La'aretz. But Naomi, as part of her, because part of the chid of Naomi was the idea of abandonment of Klal Yisrael. So now, as she's returning, in order to do tshuva, she would have to become part of Klal Yisrael again. She would have to inculcate herself into Klal Yisrael and no longer be separate from Klal Yisrael and be distanced from Klal Yisrael. So the idea, I think, in returning to Beis Lechem and everybody surrounding her, she wanted to make, you know, she wanted to make it clear that she wasn't the same person that she was before. And that's why she says, they say, is this Naomi? And she says, no, it's my name, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter. Why is she saying call me bitter? Because she's trying to distance herself from what she was, because she's trying to, you know, to become part of Klal Yisrael again. She abandoned them initially, and as part of her tshuva process, she must like change her name, and she needs them to view her differently than what she was before in order for her to be amongst Klal Yisrael once again. So that, I think, is why she's making reference to the fact that she's bitter over the loss of all her children and her wealth, and even the fact that she was pregnant, which is more personal. She's trying to demonstrate to Klal Yisrael that she's nothing like she was before, that she lost everything that she had, and everything that she had, which they used to perceive her initially, she lost. She didn't just lose in her stature, but she lost on a personal level as well. And she's doing that, I believe, in order to rectify the chait that she had, which was the distancing of the self from Klal Yisrael. Now she's coming back and she's trying to do tshuva, and by referencing and expressing her maras, her bitterness, she's able to be viewed by Klal Yisrael as being amongst them, as being one of them. Okay? And that's why I think also, the last Rashi is, he says, Davar Acher, ki midas hadin, anavi, midas hadin, kimova ana ga'on Yisrael, that it humbled her. She's trying to express the fact that she lost all the haughtiness that she had in the past, and she wants to be amongst Klal Yisrael once again. Okay? So the maras here, Naomi's, before Naomi's she's talking about a genuine Maros, a personal Maros. She felt bitterness over the fact that she lost the opportunity to do tshuva and to stop the situation from occurring. But now, once she comes into back to Eretz Yisrael, she's talking about her bitterness in order to fix the very problem that caused, you know, that caused her everything to happen. That caused everything to happen. She's trying to once again join Klal Yisrael, and the only way she could join Klal Yisrael is if they no longer viewed her as Naomi, if they viewed her in a different light, and they saw all they saw that everything was stripped away from her, and that she was different than what she was before. Okay. Any questions?
I'd like your thought. I had another way to look at it.
Okay.
Her sin was because maybe she, you know, the signs were there, but
yeah.
Maybe because of her status, she thought that she, you know, this kind of thing wouldn't happen to her. So maybe she changed her name to, you know, reflect what she was. So, you know, it's kind of like to correct yourself, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we always say by tshuva, when it's bidarche tshuva for a person to change their names. So part of changing your name is that you view yourself in a different way. And that's a general idea in tshuva, that sometimes you need an external move to change your name in order to do tshuva, in order to view yourself differently. But here she's telling everybody else, you know, to call her Mara. I think it's not just for herself, but it's also for the people, in order for the people to view her in this way so that she could overcome this fall and that she could become part of Klal Yisrael again. Okay? All right. So let me just summarize what we talked about tonight. There are two instances in Parak Aleph in Megillas Rus where Naomi talks about a bitterness, a sense of bitterness. In one place, she's talking to her daughters-in-law, and she talks about Hiyatza Biyad Hashem. For some reason, Makas Dever, which is pestilence, the destruction of all the cattle, is what brought about her bitterness. And the question that we asked was, it seems to be strange that she feels so bitter over the death of the cattle. You'd think that she would feel bitterness over the death of her husband and her children, which are more, would be stronger, a stronger feeling, would create a stronger feeling. So we explained that the bitterness is over the fact that the Dever gave them an opportunity to, you know, look at their maisim, at their actions, and do tshuva. Because Hashem, we said, Baal HaRachamim, it doesn't kill the person first, but it kills their, you know, their animals before the person, to give them an opportunity to do tshuva and to look at themselves and to introspect. And she was bitter over the fact that she didn't do that. And because she didn't do that, all this happened. And had she had done that, and had she convinced Elimelech and Machlon V'Chilion to take their time and introspect when the Dever occurred, then everything would have been different. So the Maros over there is the real Maros. It stems from the loss of the opportunity of tshuva. But again, when she comes to Beis Lechem at the end, she describes her bitterness in a different way. She ties it to the state that she's in, the fact that she lost everything. And for some reason, it's important for her to tell the people of Beis Lechem how bitter she was. Why not just keep that information to the self? Why tell everybody how bitter she was? So this ties back to the concept of tshuva as well, that the chid of Naomi and Elimelech and Machlon V'Chilion was that they distanced themselves from Klal Yisrael. They didn't want to be bothered by the Aniye Klal Yisrael, but also they didn't want to take on the responsibility of taking care of Klal Yisrael. And when she returned to Beis Lechem, in order for her to become part of Klal Yisrael, to be one of them, she had to make it clear that she wasn't like she was before, that she wasn't the same Naomi. And they viewed her as Naomi. They said, Azos Naomi. They had a certain perspective of her. They were shocked by the fact that she had changed. But she had to make it clear as to that everything was taken away from her, that she was a different person, and that right now she's been humbled, and she's no longer the same person that she was. And the reason for that is that it was really part of the tshuva of Naomi. It was part of getting her to be part of Klal Yisrael and to be one of Klal Yisrael, as opposed to distance from Klal Yisrael. So that is why in Megillas Rus, in Parak Aleph, there are two expressions of Maros, of bitterness. Okay? All right, so that's really tonight's shiur. And I want to wish everybody a Chag Kasher V'Sameach by Shavuos. And have a good Shabbos.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.